Award for Success Express, your business, career, and financial radio magazine. Hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show. We're going back to California. It is the fourth Wednesday here on Big Blend Radio, and that means we get to chat with Ward Heinrichs. He is an employment attorney based in San Diego. In fact, you can go to his website, bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. So he's the best, and he's here to keep us up to date with more legislative bills pending in California. That's what it is. That's a big set of words put together, Ward. Welcome back. How are you? I can't pronounce this stuff. You know,
all right, let me give it a shot.
I just feel like, Ward, there's like this giant like roll of paper. I was going to say toilet roll. Now I just did, but I don't mean it rudely, you know, but it's
no
just like
taken.
Every few days, like there's another bill rolling on that piece of paper.
Good.
See?
Great image. I think that it fits. So our legislature loves to pass new laws, especially in employment. And the title of this writing that I did is Legislative Bills Pending in California.
Because they're not final. So they're dangling.
Yet. Well, okay. They're not final yet. They've passed one house and they're going to one of the other houses. We have the Assembly and the Senate. Those are the two houses. And then, of course, the final process is the governor signing it. And I think most of these will make it out of the second house, but I'm pretty sure the governor won't sign all of them. And we'll just wait.
Okay, so when it comes to this kind of thing, is it kind of like our national, legislature where, okay, we got the Democrats, we got the Republicans, and if you're independent, good luck. So is it kind of that way? So everybody would expect Gavin Newsom to just sign on them if they're more Democratic kind of bills?
Well, I think surprisingly, he's not signed some bills. All right. First of all, there's a supermajority of Democrats in both the Assembly and the Senate. So they can almost pass anything they want. Republicans, and, you know, there are some independents, but it's mostly Democrats, Republicans, will try to adjust the type of what's in the final bill. That's really what they're relegated to. And because Newsom is a Democrat, you would think, oh, yeah, he's just going to sign off on anything. But no, he doesn't. There's a surprising number of bills that he does not sign off on for various reasons.
Okay.
It's not an automatic stamp.
But that's actually a good thing, to be honest. Like, I think that's a good thing. You can't just go, oh, just because they're with this party, they stamp it through. I think that's a positive.
I agree.
You know, it should be about what is this about? You know, what is it accomplished? So he told me there were 10 right now. So this is all going to be passed through by the fall. So October 14th, you said, has to go through
September 14th is the last time the legislature can act on it, which in this case means either the Assembly or the Senate, that part of the legislature that hasn't done anything on that bill yet, has to do it by September 14th. And then the final date is October 14th, by which the governor has to sign it. If he doesn't, then it's not law.
Okay, so let's look at the first one that you brought up. And everyone, Ward's got an article outlining everything we're talking about today. All of that in his website link will be in the show notes. So wherever you're listening or watching, you can just click on that for the information. SB6. Okay, so let's do the SB and the AB. So we're going back to school. There's a Senate bill and then the Assembly bill, right? So that shows where it's moving along the toilet paper line.
Yeah, if it's a Senate bill, it's already been passed by the Senate at this point.
Okay.
If it's an Assembly bill, it's already been passed by the Assembly bill, and now the other House has it. It's the same as Congress. Exact same process.
Okay. I always ask because you never know who knows what, you know, and I always need a refresher on how America works. SB 616. Mm-hmm. So that increases the minimum paid sick leave that California employers must offer from 24 hours, woo, to 56 hours per year. So we just did this, Ward. Didn't we just talk about this? What kind of
not this one? Not this one.
Okay.
This is a bill that's pending. The Senate has passed it. Now the Assembly's got it, and they're deciding what they want to do with it. I'm going to guess something like it or close to it will pass. Now, we have talked about paid sick leave since 2016, yeah. I think, 2017. California passed an overall sick leave that allowed for 24 hours or 3 days worth, or yes, 24 hours or 3 days worth of sick leave. And then soon after that, many cities passed different sick leave laws, you know, essentially the same, but gave more sick leave. So like in my article, I gave San Diego as an example, gave 40 hours a year. This is per year.
Okay.
Of sick leave. So that's 5 days. But now it looks like California wants to trump everything. I'm not sure that there is a greater sick leave law than the one they're proposing, which is 7 days. There might be, you know, in Berkeley or somewhere in the Bay Area. But I'm going to kind of doubt it. I didn't check it all out. That this would supplant everything in terms of the amount of time you can take off as paid sick leave.
It's just growing.
Yeah. So it's big. This is big.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. So how does that affect the employers? I mean, I think this is cool for the employees, but the employers, are they allowed to go get temporary help when this kind of thing happens?
Yeah, you got to be careful of that, though. But yes, you could. But, you know, we're only talking
a few days.
Three days.
Get over. Yeah. Get
temporary help for that.
So what it affect it? It's not like, yeah, it's not that big a deal for an employer versus, you know, the employee may really need that extra day or two, you know.
Well, here's where it's a big deal, I think, is that mom and pops often are, you know, operating on a shoestring, and they have to give 3 days now of sick leave. And then if you boost it up to seven, that really might stretch some of them enough to the where, you know, maybe they're having a hard time making it. So the problem with this type of regulation, so there's always a good side. The good side is, hey, it makes some sense. You know, we don't want people getting everyone else sick. Just take time off, make it paid. So you'll make sure they'll take time off, you know, for health reasons, that makes sense. But it's the businesses that have to bear the brunt of the cost. Yeah. And so, you know, anytime you have something like this passed, there are going to be a certain percentage of businesses, ones that are on a shoestring, that probably will go out of business. You know, and is it a huge percentage just based on this? Probably really small. But then when you keep mounting these types of regulations on businesses, more and more and more businesses are affected, and you're going to have fewer of them.
It's interesting because I think that's why so many people are turning to the independent contractors, which we've talked about for years.
Oh, and absolutely.
And that's like even the Uber thing. You see these things on Facebook about, oh, Uber's like, come be an Uber driver, a DoorDash delivery person and make money. And people are like, oh, I make money. And then they're like, go look at what's the wear and tear of your car. Now Uber's getting cars for people that they can rent. So now it's kind of this, it's a very odd thing. And then when you read, because I'm all stuck in it, and it's all your fault for doing these shows with us. I'm like, before I'd be like, oh, do what you want. Like, I don't, you know, whatever. I don't do it, you know, but now I'm like, oh, what's going on? And then you read these things where the Uber drivers are going, if you do X number of hours at this point on these kinds of shifts, if depending on where you are, this is the only way to truly turn a real profit that makes sense. Yes, you get it's kind of like one of those things. It's like a cash flow thing, where you're getting money in, but not realizing that it's really not worth it. And you have to turn it around. But if you're in that position of needing that cash now for something, then you know what I mean? It's
no, you're right. Cause the expenses are sort of hidden. You know, you fill up your tank. Yeah. I just filled up my tank, whatever. I do it 2 times a week. All of a sudden you're doing it 3 times a week and you're not really paying attention because you're an Uber driver. And those things mount and it reduces the amount of cash you can put in your pocket. No doubt.
It's fascinating to see, but I think that's where mom and pops go, is they'll maybe have real temporary people that come in on those things. So It's not as this is a good thing. I mean, I think employees need stuff. I mean, that's just my own personal thing. Is like, if someone's working for your company, take care of them. They'll take care of you. We're back to the family right. caregiver. See, we're going back to all these new laws that just passed for 2023. And that's what I'm saying. It's like,
and they're expanding them. Yeah.
Yeah. So this family care, the AB 524, what is going on with that?
Okay. So this is a modification of the Fair Employment and Housing Act. And that's the act that I use often that prevents discrimination, retaliation, harassment of employees. Mm-hmm. There are other groups that are a little broad, more broad than that, but employees mostly. But you can't do those discriminations and harassments and retaliations based on a protected group or a protected category. So, you know, sex is one, religion's another. So, you know, those are like the big ones, ethnic background, race, you know, those are the big ones. And most of us go, yeah, that kind of protection makes some sense. But what's happened in California, I'm not saying this one doesn't make sense either, but what has happened in California is now we have 19, I think. I'd have to go look at the statute and count each one, but we have like 19 protected groups now, categories, call them categories. And so if an employer picks on you because you're in that protected group, then you have a claim for either harassment, discrimination, retaliation. And when I mean pick on, there has to be what we call an adverse employment action. I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but so if they fire you, demote you, cut your pay, then that's an adverse employment action if they did it because you're in one of those protected groups.
Okay.
So if you're a woman, then you go, hey, woman, I'm going to fire you.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, right.
It's a nay-nay. No.
So that would be a violation. They can't. Well, would it be? Because we don't know how the facts are going to play out. But if the purpose is he's firing you or she is firing you because you're a woman,
or an old woman.
Oh, like, old woman. Because age is a protected category.
Oh, are you getting crabbies at that time of month? Smack. Dude, don't ever do that. You know, the other one is, oh, you're pregnant. No.
You're fired. So then you would violate so many you would be firing someone because they're in a protected category. And in that case, if you're pregnant, multiple categories. So that's what this is designed to protect against. And they've added a new one, family caregiver. Now, what we've talked about family caregiver in the past as to wage and hour protection. They're saying they do get overtime at a certain point. They are employees if they meet the requirements. So they've had all that protection for, you know, 4 or 5 years. But now they've said, we're also going to protect them in this way so that they can't be discriminated against because they're a family caregiver.
Okay.
So I don't know why you would pick on someone because they're a family caregiver, but I guess it can happen. I'm sure it can happen. But that's been added to the, what I'm starting to call the bone pile, because there are so many protected categories. Wow. I mean,
we're going to have to do a show just on that.
At some point, there's a lawyer in there. You can't pick on him because he's a lawyer.
Yeah, he's a lawyer. And he'll
everyone will be in trouble.
That's it. Well, the SB 399, this one prohibits retaliation when an employee refuses to listen to an employer's religious or political messages. Ooh.
Now, this is really
interesting to me, because you're in a work position. You know there is so much going on in the world now. How do you not talk about what is the current news and stuff go down? And it's probably one of those things like, you know, workplace harassment, sexual discrimination, certain things you should just not talk about. Don't tell the dirty joke. Don't do it. Even though it's funny, you don't share it, you know?
Right.
So don't maybe talk about politics and those kind of things in front of anybody. And as a boss, isn't that kind of,
being political isn't a protected category.
Okay.
So you're not going to get protection from it, except to this degree now. And this is not a Fair Employment and Housing Act new category.
So it doesn't have as much strength, basically.
It's different. But do you talk about politics at the workplace? Well, I think, you know, if you have enough people, everyone does. Now, you probably pick people that you're going to talk to about it, and you're probably a little careful, but some people probably aren't. Mm-hmm. And it's not illegal for an employer to say, here's what I think about politics.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to do it. Or here's what I think about religion. You're allowed to do it. Could that create a problem? It could. But now, if you're on your soapbox and you're proselytizing, and you're the employer, if the employees all turn their back on you and walk away, you can't do anything about it, or you will violate this law.
Wow. So, and the employees, if the employee says, okay, if they turn away, just walk away, right? But if they say, oh, shut up, this sucks, I don't agree with you, or starts to argue back, what happens? Now that you're opening your door for drama and not a good word.
Drama. That's going to be drama. Because that sounds like insubordination. And so, you know,
trouble.
Yeah, all right. So here's would completely be wrong for the employee. What if they whipped out a knife and said, you're pissing me off, boss. I'm going to stab you. Well, you could punish them for that, right?
No, I would fire someone with that.
You call the cops on my them. Gosh.
I know.
So what I'm saying is there certainly is a type of response from an employee that would put them in a bad situation. And I think what you just said, screw off or whatever you said, I forget.
Yeah, you suck. Like your politics suck. Yeah.
Yeah. That's bordering on that. And then,
if you tell them they're stupid.
Not necessarily because they're reacting to the political or religious statement.
Mm.
And so is that protected then? That's sort of a gray area for me. And then if they go, I think you need to shut up. Is that a proper reaction? I mean, it's a real reaction. Is it one that could be protected by this? You know, maybe not.
I've seen some workplaces and I know people, you know, and I'm not saying it's right. However people want to run their business, as long as they're not being rude, you know, to people and mean, but having prayer circles and things like that. Now, I think when you hire someone, you can say, I'm hiring, you know, this kind of, but if you say I'm only hiring like Christians, right?
You're going to have a problem.
That's a no-no.
Unless you're a Christian organization, like a church, you can do that.
A nonprofit. See, they get away with everything, man.
They're exempt. They're exempt from most of those. So,
wow.
Business is going to have a hard time.
But what if you force your employees to have a prayer circle before you go to work? Like in the morning, the first thing of duty is prayer circle.
Well, I think there's a bunch of problems there. One is you have, as an employee, the religious freedom. Oh, you know what, though? Now I'm getting off in the weeds because that only limits the government from action. You know, I was thinking about the amendments to the Constitution. It's the First Amendment, I believe.
Yeah.
That only limits the government from taking action against your religious freedom. That doesn't mean someone else can't. But if your employer is also limited under retaliation and harassment and, you know, FEHA, mm-hmm. our Fair Employment and Housing Act, and the Title VII for the federal. So you can't limit someone else's religious beliefs by forcing them to take part in a prayer. I would say I've never seen a case like this, but I think you could bring it because they go, that's not my religion. I don't want to be a part of that. And I don't, you know, and I'm just thinking, there's probably cases out there that talk about, you know, unduly pressuring someone to do something they don't want to do when it's religious.
Regarding politics, please put up this banner for this political party on the, you know, go put the banner up outside the front of the store. You know what I mean? You know, that kind of thing.
I think the owner can do that, but you're potentially walking into problems because they have the free right of speech too. And I don't think government can say you can't do that, even though, hey, this is, I own this place and I get to say what I want that's protected by the Constitution. So I'm going to say, I don't think the government can limit that. Wow.
But if an employee just walks away without saying anything, they're protected. So if your employer starts mouthing off with religion or politics, right, that you don't agree with, or, you know, I would just say you shouldn't do it either way. I mean, to me, so you just turn around and walk away. They can't.
It's a slippery slope.
So they're giving, so the employees just don't say anything back because then that's the slippery, right? Though it may be really tempting, you know, it could be because it's opening Pandora's box when you start that stuff, right? But the employee just turns around and walks away.
Clearly
they can't
allowed.
Get mad at you because they're not even talking about work unless you're being hired for political things. That's a whole different thing.
Oh, that's there's exemptions.
Political campaigns and stuff like that. That's different.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Or maybe you work in a Christian bookstore and they have prayer meetings. That's kind of expected, right? Unless somebody turns around and says, I believe in the devil now.
Yeah, you know? I'm not sure that a Christian bookstore would have the same protection that a church would, but maybe. I just haven't seen that many cases on it.
But it's a very interesting, I know a lot of people that work for churches and spiritual places that they don't 100% believe in that religion, but they respect them and respect the beliefs and work on whatever they need to do. They just respect it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and there's a mutual respect there, which it's always good to have somebody that's not always 100% where you are in things. So you have an other perspective. So that's kind of positive
too. I agree. Ideas should be challenged, I think.
Exactly. Wow. So man, California is going for it. And then, Workplace Violence Protection Plan. Okay. So this is SB 553. So if you do say something political and your employee turns around with a knife and says you suck, you know,
hopefully you have a plan that will be put in place and take away or reduce the risk of anyone being hurt. That's the idea behind this.
Was this because of the shootings in schools?
I'm not sure you're going to be able to act quickly enough.
Yeah. But I mean, is this really coming from the
awareness
schools?
In the office?
Yeah. Because there's so many workplace shootings and attacks and like schools, grocery stores, you know, so this goes through all kinds of, I mean, hospitals, you name it, everyone.
Post offices, all that stuff.
Yeah, it can go postal.
Go postal, that's where it came from.
Oh, nah, there it is. So, I mean, I don't want to make light of those violent things that have happened, but I think it has to be a plan. So is it like an evacuation route or that kind of thing? Or here's 911, here's how you call. What, you know, is that what they're talking about?
Well, there's like a list of things that they have to include in this plan. And I just included three that I thought were most important. You know, the list of incidents that happen. You're supposed to keep a running list of that. Do some active shooter training.
Wow.
Yeah. And shoplifting training. Now that I think that only applies for retail. I don't think it applies for everyone. But so some of these are limited. But, you know, I think these make sense. So my thing about regulation is, well, do you really have to do it and require it? Or can people just work this stuff out? I don't know. I think these all make some sense. Do you want to require people to keep a running list? Yeah. Is that too much of a problem?
Well, I think the active shooter training is important. We work with a lot of different chambers of commerce, as you know, and I just saw one that we work with, and they are having an active shooting workshop. First, I saw them doing a Facebook Live thing today.
Okay.
And I saw active shooter. I was like, no.
Buddies.
I was like,
what part of
the
country are they in?
Central California.
Central California. Okay.
Yeah. So as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh my God, you know, like they, that's my buddies. You know, you guys need to be safe. You know, and they had the police on there and they had, you know, then I was like, oh, they're fine. They're learning. I'm like, cool. But my first thought, because you just see active shooter. And right. We've seen, I mean, I have to say that, we're seeing incidences everywhere we travel across the country with this kind of thing happening. Obviously we hear it in the news, but it's a real fact, to know what to do. And I think it's kind of like when we were in school, we had those emergency drills. You know, we all thought it was stupid. And then we thought, oh, cool. We get to go outside, you know,
fire drills. Yeah.
Yeah. Earthquake fire drills, all of that, hurricanes, all of it. But if you have a plan, you have something, you know, it's like when you're in a hotel room, they always have the evacuation plan on the back. Do yeah. we read it?
I look at it. Do I know it by heart? No, I figure I will be able to jump up, read it, even though the room shaking.
I was in a hotel fire. Nancy and I were in a hotel fire and people banged on the door saying fire, fire. And the fire was actually below us in the kitchen. And this is in South Africa. And I woke Nancy up and said, fire, fire. And I rolled over and went back to sleep. And then they had to get everybody out. And this is South Africa, right? So you couldn't see the fire, but we could tell on the outside. We go down the stairs and everybody's in pajamas. I was a teenager. We get downstairs and this is South Africa for you. Everybody from the hotel rooms and the fire guys are coming in with their hoses and all this going upstairs. So they're like, oh, screw it. It's upstairs. Everybody went to the bar and started ordering drinks. And Nancy realized, she's like, holy crap, I got to get the car because it's out of underground parking. And she had to drive over the firemen's hoses. And she's like, I can't drive over the hoses. They're like, drive over the hoses, ma'am. And we went and eventually had to drive across the street and we watched things explode.
Wow.
And then we got looted the next day. They stole everything out of our rooms. But anyway, so yeah. But wow. Anyway, no, but did we look at the plan? I'm sorry, we did not.
Sounds
we went
like
to the bar. I think
luckily
if Nancy went to the
bar,
I know if Nancy went to the bar and had a cocktail, she would have driven right over those fire hoses just fine. But those plans really do actually help and keep it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like having the sexual harassment book, right? Going through that training, it's kind of the same thing about what to do.
Yeah, I think sexual harassment is a way bigger. Happens way more often.
Yeah, it's more frequent. Yeah.
So my thought on this is, okay, you know someone in Central California who did this on their own even before this law is nearly passed. It could be vetoed. It may not make it out. Who knows? And I think on this, I kind of prefer that versus, you know, government telling you what to do. But I think it's a good thing to do. I do.
Well, they're saying, like, you know, in Texas, I was watching the comedian Ron White. Sorry, like, I think he's funny as heck. And he was like, no, you know, of course they had the school shooting Uvalde and, you know, Matthew McConaughey is doing this big school plan, green lights for schools, like all this stuff, which is important. But he's you come into my office in Texas and you have a gun and you point it at me, you're dead because we'll just shoot you back. You know, that's kind of that attitude. But California is not that way, not like Texas. So it's a different kind of culture to go through that. But I suppose, yeah, I mean, I think their training should happen according to your business. I think if you're in a bar, a nightclub kind of thing, festivals, look at Gilroy Garlic Festival, that they had a shooter there. So when you're doing those kind of things, I think that's important. When you're doing high public, there's intoxication events, those kind of stuff. That's where it
should be. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I have to say that.
Yeah.
You know, whether every business has to have a specific plan. I mean, again, you know, wiener schnitzel. Well, maybe, you know, I don't know.
I was just talking about them on the show the other day because it was hot dog month or something, hot dog day. And it was a chili dog day coming up. I think
there were a couple wiener schnitzels pretty close to my office and where I live. They've gone out of business. So
no.
I don't know. Yeah. There was one in Pacific Beach. You remember Pacific Beach?
Yeah.
There was that one on the way in on Garnett.
Because they had those little A-frame little buildings.
Well, it's the A-frame building still there, but it's not a Wiener Schnitzel anymore.
Where?
Unless they may have, you know, I don't go to So he beats that much.
Get him in Oceanside? There was Oceanside. But Oceanside, they were in Oceanside, I remember. Carlsbad.
Oh, were they? I'd forgotten about Oceanside.
I think so. I'm still stuck on my Angelo's Burgers, but, you know, yeah, but Wiener Schnitzel, man, that was a thing we do. Yeah, it's kind of like a Denny's at the end of the gig.
Yeah.
You know.
And but, the one in Coney Mesa on Convoy, that's close.
Wow.
The building's still there, but it's not a Wiener Schnitzel. Anyway.
Well, I want a chili dog now, but.
Now America knows.
Yeah, listen, everyone. Okay, so let's go to the next one. There's a lot of these laws. SB 848. Oh, wow. Leave for miscarriage or failed adoption. Oof.
Yes. So it's 5 days unpaid. It's like the bereavement leave, which is still unpaid. I mean, bereavement leave just came into place this year.
So this another, I think this
last
is
last year. I think it was this year. And that's 5 days or what? Shoot. Yeah. That might only be 3 days. I think that's 3 days. Ah, I never see it. That's the weird thing. I don't see these things. I don't always know the details.
They're always churning though. These things are always churning and in development like we're talking about, but that is not a bad law. That's a good law. I think I think you need longer, quite frankly, especially a miscarriage. That's really rough on people and rough on both partners a lot of times. It's not just, you know.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. No, I totally get that. And if it's unpaid, I think that's better. I'm really kind of hesitant about getting more paid leave forced on employers. Again, it's not the big employers, they're gonna be fine. It's the little guys. And I just seen in San Diego more little businesses close up and go to a different state.
There's a balance.
I feel sorry for them, and I don't think it's really good for us, honestly.
Yeah. So this is all state level, whereas it could have been done, you know, by region too, instead of state. You know, would sometimes
cities like if it's have done it, sure.
Yeah, a big city, it makes sense, right? But you still have mom and pops in there, you know.
Well, you do, and those are the ones that get affected by this stuff. That's my only caveat to all of this. I understand. And gosh, you know, miscarriage, that's devastating. I mean, luckily I never lived through one, but well, not personally. But
then what if a bereavement, I would have thought that would have taken it in, but it's death. A miscarriage. Well, okay. I'm not getting in that one. Oopsie. Well, boy, okay. Oh boy.
I don't think there, you know, many companies had bereavement leave already. It just wasn't throughout the whole economy and every business. Miscarriage leave? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I just feel like it should be part of that. It's
oh, a bereavement leave?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I don't want to go with it was a miscarriage of death or I don't want to get into all of that. The rest of the country's up in arms with, you know, all the rights and I don't want to get started on that because it'll never end. But the you know, it just feels that you're in mourning. So, you know, it's a miscarriage. You know, it's
no, it's sad. Super sad.
I think it's sad. And so help, but yeah, I there's that balance, like you're saying. This one I find really interesting.
But what about failed adoption? I'm just wondering about that.
That is a little different. Now, if you fostered the kid first and you got to know the kid,
that'd be different. Okay.
That would be different. If you've flown to China and back, you know, because a lot of people are doing that, and you know, they bring home the baby and then they say no, where you need to give it back. If you've had contact,
all right. No, that yeah, I hear that one too. But
that
just
happens.
Like if you paid some money and then I don't know, for whatever reason the adoption goes through, I don't know if you should get time off for that.
Yeah, I think if you have that communication,
you could take vacation time maybe.
Yeah, I think it's a communication. Like if you've already and like a lot of people foster kids and dogs.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. But then they go from fostering to adopting.
Yes.
And through the fostering, then they've built that relationship. And I think it's hard, not just on them, but the kid. If the kid is like you've built a bond and that's just throwing the rug under someone. That's mean. But if it's, I think I'm going to adopt and all the paperwork's done. I've seen the kid once. It's a bummer. Yeah, maybe, you know, take the day off, go, you know, have a shot of whiskey or whatever. No, maybe meditate, whatever. Whatever you need to do, find solace. I'm not being rude. I'm not being mean. No, I'm just saying you need to process it. It's hard. So everyone has their way. But I don't think it would be the same as a miscarriage that you've been carrying that baby for X amount of time. And it could be, you know, the emotions that go with that and the hormones and the, everyone's got a backstory on all of that too. So
yeah.
I think you should, I just don't, the way the laws are like a little wonky, maybe. I just think it should be under bereavement, or I just need time out. And like we've talked about on the shows before, if you're in a good workplace situation and you said to your boss, man, I had a miscarriage or my I'm just messed up. The boss is typically going to say, we're going to cover for you.
Yeah.
And probably even for longer than 5 days, most likely. Take a week, 2 weeks, depending on the business, depending, you know what I mean?
Right.
Depending.
Situational. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it's important to have good relationships with you between the employer and the employee to have a good fit, you know? So when things happen, it's not like the rules. Robert's rules of order. Okay. Can I go to the at home employee returning to the workplace? The SB 731. What?
All right. So this one I'm kind of on board with.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What? Because, well, I don't know.
I think it's okay to
do it.
Rather than say, employee, you have to return to work today.
Oh, no, that's rude.
Or you're fired.
But 30 days?
Well, maybe 30 days is too long. I don't know. But, you know, it's not that big. To me, it's not that big a deal. You go, they're working at home.
Yeah.
You've kind of liked
because
it.
Because of kids.
The
you
employer
know,
must have liked it for some reason if they even allow it. Now, you know, there were, well, no, they never had it. They were never required to allow working at home during the pandemic. It was an option, and it made sense in many cases. So the employer had to bless all of these to a certain degree. And so once the employer has done that, and if they're going, they say they try it for 2 months, they go, oh, this stinks. All right, another 30 days, man. Just, you know, figure it out and give them 30 days because now they need to transition. You know, now they got to figure out their schedule. And maybe 30 days is too much. Maybe it should be 2 weeks. But whatever, I kind of like, because if I'm working at home all the time and I got a boss, I'm my own boss, so, you know. But if I got a boss and they said work at home, and then I've got it all set up and I'm clicking and I'm loving it, and they say come back, and I'm going, no, come on, man.
Yeah, and you've probably built an office during the pandemic. You're like, I got office plants now. I've got a dog I didn't have. I've got, you know, coffee right there, and I've got a cooler right at my desk drawer.
I get donuts every day delivered to me, man.
DoorDash, the Uber people are loving me. You know,
so I
can see where
a little notice
is. Yeah,
I like a little notice on that.
But 30 days is long to find
that
yourself
does seem
a
like
dog
a long
walker.
Time. I hear you. It does seem like a little long. I think you
tell you the pet industry is busy right now. Pet sitting, dog walking, the whole thing. Everybody's like, you know, I have this animal that I adopted during the pandemic and I was with it 24/7, and now the dog's not used to it. You're not set up. Everybody's a little wonky with that now. So that's part of it. And it's with kids too. Started homeschooling suddenly during the pandemic. Now it's like, oopsie, can't do that anymore. Can you, you know, if you have to go back to work, and it's maybe your car and all of that too. So, okay. I'm getting on board.
No, there's a lot of, there could be some real big changes that you got to make in your scheduling back
all
the way
right.
it was.
All right, last
now,
one.
Here's the one thing though on that.
Okay.
If the employer says, well, what we're going to do now is work 3 days at home and come in twice a week. Now that shouldn't be 30 days for sure.
No.
I think this law is going to be that broad. Again, none of these are final, so they could all change a lot. But boy, you know, there are certain circumstances when, no, that's too much. And maybe 30 is just too much anyway.
Yeah, I think a lot of people I know do half and half. They're going between both.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's been pretty effective, I think.
So the last one, here we go. Oh boy.
Last but not least.
Minimum wage. Here we go. Go California. Go Washington State, New York City. SB 525 raises a minimum wage for healthcare workers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm for this personally. I am absolutely for it.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm just standing by it. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Bravo.
Oh, you know, healthcare workers have been burned out, man, and they're losing them. It's like teachers. If you don't take care of these two, that's a big, important part of our world in life. So, all right, they're getting a raise.
Yes, and in two stages. By this January 1st, they'd get $21. All right, June 1st.
Okay.
And by 2025, June 1st, they'll bump up to $25. Okay. Again, this is not final. And, you know, it basically covers all situations or most situations where you're going to have healthcare work or even to some degree in-home healthcare work would be covered by this.
Mm. Healthcare work is hard. You're dealing with people.
Yeah, and it was stretched. During the pandemic, we really saw it stretched. And that was the big danger of the pandemic. It wasn't so much, I didn't think your chances of dying, even if you're over 80, it's like 5%, which is significant. So don't ignore it. But if you were 25 or under, holy smokes, the chance of dying is really remote. So I didn't think that was the biggest problem. The biggest problem was our healthcare system got overrun. And so, we need to take care of them. I do agree on that. I'm not sure I totally agree with this bill, but I like the direction it's going.
Well, the healthcare industry is a mess. Let me just say that, and hospitals going bankrupt over and over, yet the drug companies making huge amounts of money.
Well, and this won't affect drug companies.
It'll affect hospitals, and it'll cause them
to fork out more money.
But it's
so our you want to talk about potentially more bankruptcies?
I want the hospitals to have more money. So, and then it's like
this is not going to help them get money. This is going to take money out of their pockets.
I know, but everybody needs to make money in that. Even doctors don't make like they used to because of all the insurance. So they make money, but it's not like what people think.
In California,
because
we have
so
MICRA
expensive.
Though, and MICRA has limited the damages you can get from a doctor for malpractice. So I'm going to guess that the rates in California haven't climbed as much as in other places where they're unlimited. Yeah, it's like $500,000.
For now.
No, it's been that way for decades.
But I'm saying just wait. There'll be another law coming next. You never know. Yeah.
I think there must be a strong doctor lobby in California that's prevented them from facing higher liability in court, in the court system.
So how is it that hospitals keep running out of money? What is it?
I don't know.
I wonder.
I don't know this.
I don't know either. I mean, I don't want them to. And at the same time, I think everybody needs those two entities need to be schools need to be taken care of and the teachers, hospitals and the workers.
Well, I'm going to say if that's your main concern with the health industry, this bill might create more bankruptcies.
Thanks, Ward. So you're making me rethink what I said. I'm sticking with it. Now you're going to make me rethink it. Jeez, what are you, an attorney?
Yes.
All right.
Good one.
He's the best employment attorney, sandiego.com. See, well done. Well done. Well done. Everyone, Ward is here every fourth Wednesday is making sense out of legal stuff for California employment legal stuff that when we read it, we go, what's he talking about? Then we get
just
it.
Just open your eyes wide.
Yep, that's it. And it just keeps rolling. Those bills just keep rolling. That toilet paper just keeps moving. And also keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. The link for Ward's articles in the show notes. Thanks, Ward. Always fun.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
And I want to go jump in the ocean in that photo behind you, like now.
Yeah, I think that's San Alejo right up there.
Ooh, beautiful.
Yeah, Carlsbad.
Ooh, yep.